Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Recruiting Animal. For some reason, my music's not playing. It came on. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show at 1 p.m., 1 hour from now. Maureen Sherub, the sexy super vixen of telephone sourcing, and her pal, Pam Simon, will answer your questions about telephone sourcing for free. So if you have a problem, call in then. They are terrific. Now, what I really want to talk about from my own point of view, is something that's been on my mind a lot lately. And it's this, people. A month ago, the people of the Recruitosphere said they wanted someone new to represent them. They didn't want another bland coagulator of gobbledygook in a suit. They wanted a little spice in their lives, a little flavor. So they elected me to be their person of the year. Yes, they did. And, of course, there were those who said I didn't deserve the honor. They said it was just a fluke. I was a puppet, a Canadian who could never win unless Dave Mendoza was pulling the strings. You know them, friends, the conventional thinkers, the respectable types who believe that only the drab survive. But you and I know better, don't we? People don't want to listen to boring leaders. They tune them out. They want someone who is open and real, who can give recruiters a reason to believe. So I want to tell those naysayers here and now that the toboggan ride that began in December has not slowed down. I know it. I know there's no obvious way for you to gauge my popularity. But let me tell you, friends, that every day I get letters from around the world. Recruiters in Shanghai are writing to me. Recruiters in Baghdad are writing to me. From Singapore to St. Petersburg, the little people, the unknown bloggers, are pleading with me. Animal, they say, almighty Quinn, I could never hope to be a superstar like you. But I say no, Ahmed, you're wrong. I say no, Pierre, you're wrong. Make no mistake about it. If you believe that your main problem is out there, it's really in the un-American ideas that are polluting your own mind. What you've got to do is leave your doubt behind and leave your fear behind. And when that ominous little voice says, no, I can't, you've got to answer with three magic words. Now, many of you are aware that in the last 2 days, 500 new people have been brought into the recruitosphere by the power of just one man. He's a modest man, a self-effacing man, a man who cares little for himself, but only thinks about how he can keep the recruitosphere alive. And as soon as I saw these newcomers washed up on our shores, I knew it was my duty to reach out and give them a helping hand, so I did. Come on my show, I said. Stand up and be counted, and let everyone know who you are. But no sooner were the words out of my mouth than I started hearing the same old cynical claims. I don't have to repeat this. Excuse me, friends. I was going to say I don't have to repeat them. You know what I mean. You know what they are. You know what people say. But instead of just taking them, I said, listen, buddy, don't tell me that, because I'm going to tell you something. Yes, you can. You can come on this show. I said, Mary, don't tell me you can't, because I'm going to tell you something. Yes, you can. And I said, hey, Layla, don't give me that kind of crap, because I'm going to tell you something. And when they heard those inspiring words from your representative, me, what did they say? I'll tell you what they said. Angie Berenger, she said, you know what, Animal? Yes, I can. And when I said, recruiter, you could be in for a very tough ride. You know what Billy Miller said? He said, I don't care, Animal. Yes, I can. And when I said, look, you guys, don't come in the kitchen if you can't stand the heat. You know what Tracy Mannix said? She said, don't you know, Animal? We're already on fire, and recruiters. Tracy couldn't make it today because of other commitments, but Billy and Angie are here, ready to step into the sunshine with me, the recruiting animal, on the Recruiting Animal Show!
The werewolf is neither man nor wolf, but a satanic creature with the worst qualities of both.
And do you expect me to believe that a man so afflicted actually becomes a wolf under the influence of the full moon? I'm afraid, sir, that I gave up my belief in goblins, witches, personal devils, and werewolves at the age of 6.
Hi, everybody. Billy and Angie, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. Who's doing that? Who's, you know what? Sometimes these listeners, they go and they make their lunch. I don't know what. Stop that noise!
Not
Can
me
you
today.
Believe it? I'm going to have to cut some people off. Hey, that's not in your place,
Who's
is it?
Who's on the couch, Michael?
I don't know. You're there, but no, it's just like normal. Your number's not showing. The Kingfish Manister's there and somebody else, 215. I don't know who it is. But hold on, Maureen. I got a question. I want Angie. I'm going to ask Angie a question right off the bat. Angie, you heard my talk, right?
Yep.
I think it's un-American to be shy and retiring, and I want to know if you agree. And here's my reasoning. Americans believe that a person should be free. And to be free, you got to have the willpower to stand on your own 2 feet. And I said willpower, not wallflower, because that's something no wallflower can do.
I agree.
That's it?
That's it.
Billy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, I got a question for you. I've heard that techies... Okay, come on, just listen. I've heard that techies are semi-autistic. Their attention span doesn't move very fast, so they're really not quick enough to relate to other people. But on the other hand, because their minds move so slow, they have the ability to hold a problem in their minds for a long time, and that gives them their special skill. Would you agree to that?
Sure.
Yeah, you don't sound very confident. Angie, I'll come
sure.
back to you. Do you agree? Yes
Absolutely
or no?
Absolutely not. No.
You don't agree? Well, give me some feedback.
Stereotyping. They just are different. They think differently. They think.
Yeah, okay. You know what? That sounds like agreement to me, doesn't it, Maureen? They think differently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I got to tell you something. If they are really different, that contradicts what I said a minute ago. Because if you have to have techies, we all need techies. And if they're different, that means it takes all kinds. I'm really confused, but something I'm going to have to think about. I know I can't count on you guys. It's too big a question to handle here. We're going to save it for another show, okay?
Okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah, you guys are a little sedated or something. I don't know. I told you yesterday, wake up, have a coffee before you come here. Now, both of you work in placing contract IT people. Am I right?
Correct.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It seems to me that most contract IT firms follow a similar pattern. A couple of techies decide to open up a recruiting shop because they know the people and the business needs. The thing is, though, relating back to what I said before, then they have to go and hire non-techies to work for them because they themselves are social misfits. Is that right?
Usually.
I don't know about the social misfits part. But
they're these guys who can't relate to people. They relate to things. Am I right?
Usually.
Okay, Angie's with me. That's you, Angie, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Angie, how come you don't have any E at the end of your name? Are you trying to be cool or something, or what?
Yeah, I lost it a long time ago.
No, you lost it. It's just like a tooth. Okay, I'm going to introduce you guys. Angie Berenger, is that how you say your last name?
Bellinger.
Bellinger?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those are L's, not R's?
Correct.
Okay, you've got to learn how to spell, okay? Angie Bellinger lives in Florida. She's a contract IT recruiter, and actually she's the manager of her office. She hires, fires, and guides her new recruits. And Billy Miller is a young man from the Midwest. He's in the same business as Angie, contract IT recruiting. He's a cocky member of Gen Y who thinks, he's only been in the business for a year, but he thinks he knows everything. And he's crazy about social networking and Web 2.0. Am I right?
To a certain extent.
Okay, yes, sir. I only take yeses or noes, okay? You got to make a decision with me. Okay, you don't have to answer that anyway. Billy, I got a problem. I don't know. Nobody else knows about it except you and me. Billy, I was disconcerted to find he's got an ogre of a boss looking over his shoulder. He's listening in on this show. He had, you know, he's a junior guy. He had to go and ask the boss if he could come on. He said, yeah, but don't give away our secrets, okay? Billy, I got something to tell you. You don't have any secrets. Everybody does the exact same thing, okay? So I don't know where this guy's coming off. Secondly, if he causes you any problems when you go back to the office, you come and tell me, because no one messes with the recruiting animal online. And you've got Dave Mendoza on your side, too, and we've seen what he can do, okay? So,
fair enough.
If, listen, boss man, if you're listening, I'm talking to you. You leave this guy alone, or else call in right now and fight with me. I don't care. The number's on my blog. Okay, now the first thing I want to talk about is social networking. Is that okay with you guys?
Sure. Sure, okay.
Okay, both of you joined recruitingblogs.com yesterday. Let me say it again for the sake of my old friend JD. Recruitingblogs.com. All recruiters can go there and sign up. But you guys signed up because of David Bulldoza Mendoza. Am I right, yes or no?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay, so what happened? I want to know, did he just come along and say, hey, you guys, follow me, and like a bunch of lemmings, 500 people, they did whatever the Pied Piper told them to do?
Yes.
That's what happened. Like, are you guys zombies or something? You know, I have to tell you.
That's pretty accurate.
I'm a little nervous. This guy Mendoza, right? We had a contest in December for the Recruiting Blogs Best Blogs Award for 2007, and this guy decided who was going to win. He made up a slate of candidates. He sent them out to all his friends.
No, Dave on the couch.
I don't think so.
Michael.
I don't think so, Maureen. I don't think he's here. Oh, yeah, he's here. Wait a second, Dave. I'll let you on in a second.
That's not very nice, Mike.
Hold on a second. He goes out and gets his people elected, and he gets himself the prize to Vegas. Now, I got to tell you, he's proved subsequently that he deserved that prize. I believe he does. But, like, what is it with putting 500 people on this other guy's site all at one time? I got a feeling he's trying to tell us that he controls the recruiter sphere. Don't mess with me. You guys, wait a second.
Animal, it's actually 600.
600. Oh, don't brag. I said you were modest, didn't I? You only care about the recruiter sphere. But I know better. This is. I just got a feeling it's a conspiracy or something like that.
No,
what's going on?
Sheep.
Yeah, these guys
it's a
are
power
cheap.
Play.
That's what it is, Maureen. You're right.
The power play. Let's just call it like it is.
Okay.
For good.
Okay.
For good.
Power. It's for good. I don't know if it's for good. You seem like, you know, some kind of sinister, shady guy in the background there. So I'm gonna. Anybody have anything else to say before I start interviewing these guys?
It's a coup d'état. It's a coup d'état.
Well, that's coming, Maureen. Don't you have that feeling? One day. Hey, the work farce is here. Hey, work farce.
How's it going, everyone?
Okay. Yeah,
hey,
these guys don't know anybody, but I got news for you, Maureen. You just wait. These IT recruiters, they're a different breed. They don't do any telephone sourcing. You guys don't even know who Maureen is, right?
I know who Maureen is.
You do? How?
Went to a recruiting symposium that she took part in.
Yeah, but
cool.
Why did you do that? Let me ask you a question. I'll come right to the question. These guys, my impression is, like, I was blown away when I found out what you guys do. You don't do any real sourcing. Your top guys start the business. They dump everybody they know. They do a brain dump into their databases. Then you guys gather more people from online databases. And especially after you place somebody a few times, you told me they become very friendly and they spill their guts. They tell you who all their friends are. And that's how you guys build your databases. You don't have to go out searching for people like normal headhunters do. Am I right?
Mostly. About 10% of the time we have to search.
So these guys never say yes or no, Maureen. Isn't that true? But I'm going to tell you, Maureen, isn't that amazing? I can't believe that's recruiting.
They're afraid to argue with you, Michael.
Well, but what about you? I'm talking to you now.
They're parsing their answers.
Okay, JD's telling me he's trying to get in. He's too late. Get on it, JD. What's his name took your place already, the work farce.
Hey, you know, after they reply back to my email and they joined recruitingblogs.com,
yeah,
it's a contract that you're supposed to be nice to them.
Okay. I'm not supposed to be nice to them.
Animal, you know the rules.
I just want to tell everybody. I won't mention any names. I won't mention any names. I'm in charge, Dave. I can cut your mic. Don't cut me off. There's a guy who wrote to Dave. He wrote to Dave. He says, you rein in the animal. He thinks this guy's got all kinds of power. Nobody reins me in. Okay. Now, Billy, I got to ask you some questions about Gen Y. Is that okay?
Sure. Go ahead.
You know, I know you got problems answering a question directly. Just say yes or no. You're 25 years old. Is that true?
Yes.
Do you live at home with your parents?
No, not at all.
Oh, you're not really Gen Y. At least that's one strike against you. Do you believe your parents don't have a clue about job hunting and careers for people of your age? Yes or no?
Oh, that's definitely true.
Why? Come on. Well, maybe your father or mother are like immigrants from an agrarian country. Why wouldn't they understand?
Well, I mean, they're blue-collar people. They don't deal with IT too much. They're not in my line of work at all, and they don't know many people that are. So
okay, they don't know about careers and middle-class careers in general, or white-collar careers. Is that what you're saying?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say in the line of work I'm in IT,
okay, we're speaking more generally. Okay, just leave that. But let me ask you this. Did you bring your parents in to negotiate your first salary, yes or no?
No.
Have you ever heard of helicopter parents?
No.
Okay, well, you're betraying your generation. I've got a few more of those.
Probably not the first or the last time.
I'm just gathering proof for my theories. I just got a few more questions for you. Do you believe that you are a better networker than people who are older than you?
Different. I would say different. I would.
You know, does this guy give a yes or no on anything? Is that what, you know, Gen Y is?
Shades of gray.
Okay, that means nothing. Okay. So let me see. I got two more questions for you. Let me ask you one more. Well, forget it. Enough of Gen Y. Okay. Now, let me see. I want to talk about how these firms, the IT contract recruiting firms, are structured. Okay? I don't want to give away your business model to Billy, to your boss. So tell him I'm talking about Angie. She's not as frightened as he is. Okay? So, look. You got your hunters bringing in the new business. Then there's account managers. They're the middlemen who get the orders from the clients, explain them to the recruiters, then they create a short list of candidates from the people the recruiters bring in, and they sell these to the client. Angie, am I right?
Yes.
Yeah? Now, Billy, does that sound right to you, too? You don't have to say. It's okay? It's okay if you say that?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Now, the thing is, in your business, there's a shortage of hunters, right, of these new business development people. I can only guess, you guys don't have to say, that it's because your business really doesn't pay salesmen what they're looking for. So the owners really handle that new business development through a personal network of cronies. Angie, does that make sense to you?
It makes sense, but it's not happening here.
It's not happening there. It's different. Tell me about it. Come on.
Well, we keep hiring hunters, and they keep not being able to open doors, and you know, I'm not good at it, so I don't know how to find those people, but right now, that's my job, so I'm
okay.
I
promised Angie that I would get her some salesmen online to talk to her about how to be a hunter, but first of all, I got to ask you a question. You told me that you're actually quite forward. You're ready to call a company up and say, hey, we're the greatest, try us out, you'll be happy, but I'm under the impression now, after having talked to my buddy, Billy, it's a secret, Billy, I don't think it's a secret, so I'll say, that these companies actually require RFPs and, you know, a lot of process, and maybe that's why you're striking out. Am I right, or is it something else?
No. We're fine with RFPs. I can do those all day long. It's just getting either on a vendor's list or just getting someone to agree to give you a shot. Give me the RFP. Let me fill it out. Give me, you know.
Now, I found you so charming yesterday when we spoke that I can't imagine people turning you down. But maybe somebody else who's on the couch can. Maureen, is this a real saleswoman? Come on. Do you have anything to say to her?
Why are you having trouble finding people? Are they coming in and saying they are hunters and it turns out they're not? Or
yeah.
Are you going out to find them, or are you waiting on them to come to you? What's going on?
We do both. We have hired people that have been persistently after us because we figure if they're persistent with us, they'll be persistent with our clients. We've hired brand new people that we thought we could train them. We've hired people that have 30 years in the business, and they've just kind of outdated themselves, I think. So.
What does that mean, they outdated themselves? They sleep on the job?
Yes. No. They just look at it from a different point of view. They can't really – I don't know if it's a chip on their shoulders or what, but for some of the older generation managers, you know, the high-level CEOs, they're fine with, but the 20-something hiring managers, they have a real problem communicating.
Oh, it's like
them.
An ego thing, eh? They don't get their status acknowledged or something?
Yeah, I guess.
But I was thinking, not Maureen, not that you would start asking her what she's doing wrong in the hiring category, but what she's doing wrong herself. You want
to
tell her what she can do.
Yeah.
Sounds like you know, you're not going to get any help from the guys here. I tried to get some coaching for you yesterday from Billy when I talked to him at nighttime, but really, he didn't have anything to say. Do you, Billy?
No, not much.
Okay.
Hey, Michael. Now,
yes?
Just one point. You were talking before about how, you know, difficult it is.
I just want to introduce
people.
You. This is Kingfish. This is Dave Manister. You guys, you new recruiting blog people. This is the Kingfish from ERE, Dave Manister. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
All right. Just one thing about this, the contingent market, is that people without sales skills just can't make it in that market. But oftentimes people with the sales skills that are able to kind of have those client relationships, they're entrepreneurial, they're aggressive, they go out and start up their own thing. They're really kind of hard to keep at a company
mm-hmm.
once they have those relationships, because those relationships are money. They could take them anywhere,
mm-hmm.
including on their own. So they're really hard to get to come work for somebody.
But also, that
very
makes
well
it sound
common.
Like it's dangerous for the owner to share relationships with anybody but himself. Is that right,
you too? You could say that about any business. I think that, you know, successful business people can't think like that, or else they'll never get anywhere. You got to trust people.
Yeah, but, you know, some businesses are quite unique. So, I mean, nobody else, the sales rep just can't go somewhere else and offer the same thing. But if everybody's doing much the same thing, they could just take their people elsewhere. Right?
What's unique about the recruiting business are the people and the relationships. And the people who have those relationships are those salespeople that are out there forming the relationships with the clients. So they are the uniqueness. They can take those anywhere.
Okay, I'm going to argue that the uniqueness lies in people like Billy and Angie and the way they relate to their candidates. Is that reasonable?
Well, it lies on both sides. It's very reasonable.
I agree with Dave. If they can't sell it, you know, if they can't go in there or have somebody that has a proven track record of success, maybe their salespeople have sold something different in the past, but they have that solid relationship. The trust has already been established, you know, but if they can't close the deal because those people, the salespeople, don't have the relationships, then they're SOL.
I'm good at forming relationships. I can't get my foot in the door.
Well, going back to your point, you mentioned a vendor list. You know, I know so many organizations out there that, you know, even some VPs of talent acquisition have it on their voicemail, we are not accepting new vendors at this time, you know, on and on. I think that's probably your biggest challenge at this point, or at least one of your top three, if I'm not mistaken.
Should she join a club that these guys belong to, or a gym? Actually, she's at a disadvantage because everybody's a guy in this business. She can't join their gyms, right? Or maybe she can, but she can't talk to them in the locker room. So, real, I'm dead serious, but, you know, I mean, maybe you should hang around in a different place and get chummy with the right people. Maybe that's
it.
I like
locker rooms.
Okay.
I bet. I'm not going to go there.
Okay. But here's something I want to say. Now, Angie told me that the one way that this business that she's in is, and Billy's in too, is so profoundly different from what I do is that in contract recruiting, you don't care about the personality of the candidate. You don't care how the person looks. All you care about is, can they do the job? Essentially, it sounds like to me they need a machine. The client needs a machine, and they want to check out if the person is programmed correctly to do the right kind of work. And that I'll go on just one more minute. And she also told me that has a profound effect on the interview. She said she can judge a candidate in 2 minutes on the phone because all she wants to know is his technical expertise. Okay, Angie, did I tell it right?
No, 10 minutes, but okay. about 10 minutes. You're absolutely right, though. In contract, it's just a matter of, can they get my job done? Are they an expert in their field?
Really? Okay, and Billy, you can see.
Yeah, I'd say the shorter term, the shorter the contract, the more that's correct.
Yeah, because some contracts last forever, right?
Sure.
Yeah, if you're talking a multiple-year contract, I think there's more that comes into play with the personal aspects of it.
Like what, Billy? Come on, show off for your boss right now. Tell him what you know.
Well, like the way they fit the job, whether they fit in the culture of the company, whether it's a laid-back culture or a real tight-collar culture. If they're going to be there for a number of years, they have to be able to work within that so they're not rubbing mm-hmm. people the wrong way.
Okay, I just got to listen. There's a message I got here from Shauna Armstrong. She's having trouble listening to the show. Well, sorry, it's a little too late for me to help her, but just in case you can listen, I'm trying, okay? I don't know what to do. Okay, so let me get back to this. So,
Michael,
Billy, Yeah?
I want to add in something there, though.
Do you know Shauna? Is she one of yours? Is she one of yours? Send her an email. She just got to go to recruitinganimalshow.com and press the click to listen button, and she'll get it on her speakers. She could call in the show as well. She just can't talk.
What's her last name?
Shauna Armstrong. You go to work. You go to work. Talk to her. What do you want to say first? Come on. What do you want to say?
Well, contracts aren't necessarily unlimited. I mean, you have, especially for 1099. So you're going to have express terms, and usually not more than a year, and more often than not, if you're at Google, especially, it's less than a year, about 10 months to 6 months.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
So,
thanks for that information, Dave. That was
really
valuable.
But it's important to let people know that they're not unlimited. I think that's
important. Yeah, they know that. But the point is that they really don't care much about things that regular recruiters fret about. At least maybe I'm not really
a regular
recruiter.
And I disagree with that. But that's fine.
You're not a recruiter either, okay? So go ahead. Sorry, who was going to say something?
No, this is workforce. I completely agree that I don't care what sort of skill set they may have, if environment is going to play into it, if this person can't speak English or they cannot communicate, if they are going to be interacting with others, then, you know, it's a knock against them. I mean, they have to assimilate themselves into the environment. For going back to the sales standpoint, why not do something for a one-off to prove yourself? Say, I'll do this one for you for free to show you what we can do. What's wrong with something like that?
These guys don't call the shots. Billy, your boss is listening. Tell him to call the work farce. He's got some advice for him. Oh, actually, but he's not the problem for you. Angie's boss has to call. I don't think he's listening. Angie's your boss listening?
Oh, no.
No, okay. He doesn't know you're on the air. Okay, work farce, thanks for that. But answer the work farce. Well, actually, let's move on. You guys are confusing me. Like, I got questions to ask you. No, really. No, I asked yesterday. I talked to both you guys. I said, okay, well, you know, you're so different from me, like with these 2-minute and 10-minute interviews. Like, what questions are you asking in those interviews that I want to know? And I really had to pull teeth to try to get something from you. I want you to tell me right now what questions you ask your candidates. Angie, start.
Okay, there's four questions.
I don't want to give away Billy's secrets, so if you ask the same questions, it's okay for him to say yeah, because then it's
exactly.
Not a secret anymore, is it?
Exactly.
Very true.
Not a
very true.
So,
wasn't there a song about that, Michael? My Secret Love?
Okay, yeah. We got the songs later on, Maureen. Thanks a lot. Okay, go ahead. What are your questions? I know what Sean is doing wrong. She's trying to it's my fault. But I'll solve the problem later. Go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
First question. Describe for me your ideal job.
Yeah.
In its entirety.
Yeah.
Company size, what it looks like, what are you doing, what projects are you working on, what industry is it in?
Uh-huh.
And then
What's your goal there?
Finding out what they are going to be the happiest at and therefore stick it out. You know, am I going to represent this person to big companies, smaller companies, security clearance type companies, whatever?
Well, no, what is whatever? Just spell it out. Like, I don't know.
that's it. What kind of job do you want? Do you want banking? Do you want, you know, software development strictly, cutting edge? Do you want – what's important to you in a job?
So you go through, sir, but do you coax them? Do you have to say, look, these are the options? You know, do you have a menu that you run by the guy, a checklist, and he says, yeah, I want some of this and some of that?
No, I coax them, yes. I ask them a job, and I see where they go first. I mean, I ask them the question about the job, and I see where they go first.
Give me an example.
Describe for me your ideal job.
Yeah, and what if the guy doesn't know what to say?
Well, then I coax him. What kind
like,
of company is it?
Yeah.
You walk in, describe it to me. What are you doing? Are you sitting in a cubicle, or are you sitting in an office? Are you working from home?
Is this some kind of meditation exercise? You know, go to your special place and imagine that you're – it sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And then second question is tell me about your favorite job you've ever had.
Yep.
Describe it to me. And then I'm just listening and writing down if it matches.
And this only takes 10 minutes?
Yeah. Tell me. Well, it depends. I can get it done in 10 minutes is what I said if I get a real director-type personality on the phone.
Okay.
Otherwise, I've also had it go on for an hour. So.
The truth will out. Okay. Yes. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. Yesterday I did 3 interviews in between all the other things, and I probably took me 10 minutes each.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ideal job.
What other questions?
Job.
Is that
Is that it?
Favorite job, worst job, and your strengths and skills that you want to learn. And then mm-hmm. you finish up with how much money you're making now, how much do you want to make, you're done.
Really?
Much.
Okay. Billy, what do you think? Did you miss anything?
No.
Billy?
Yeah. I'm here. It's I wouldn't say that's 100% how I do it, but I don't see that as ineffective.
Just
to be a devil's advocate, the one thing I will ask you, if it's really only comes down to skill, do you really care what industry they want to be in, what kind of role it is, other than the technical aspects?
Yeah, a little bit. It does come into play on whether they're going to accept. It's all about their motivations and will they accept my contract.
Okay.
So not about the environment and are they going to be happy there so much as
just
is
will
this
they stick it out?
Yeah, well, stick out. Is this something that's going to that they will entertain the option? Because they have a lot of options.
Yeah.
Why are they going to accept my contract over yours?
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Fair
do
enough.
They get a lot of, do they get a lot of calls, the average IT guy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like how many calls?
Oh, those guys.
I had people telling me 20 calls a day.
No way.
Really?
Oh, is that why they hate recruiters?
Yep.
Do they groan?
Oh, yeah.
When you
interview
yourself. But how do you get over that?
That's why I try and interview them, and I say, look, I'm not here to pitch you a job. I'm trying to figure out what you want and see if I can help you. I'm not going to sell you on something.
No, you don't. You don't? Why not? If it's a great job, don't you want them to know that?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, there's all sorts of selling techniques that I can use with them, but I'm also – this is their livelihood. I'm not going to force them to do
something.
Okay,
you're not trying to trick them, but you want to put your best foot forward. Is that right?
Of course. Absolutely.
Maybe that's your problem, that attitude. You just said, I'm not going to try to sell them something. Is that you have a negative frame of mind? Is that possible?
Maybe. I'm not going to hard sell them.
Hard sell is different. What do you mean by hard sell?
Tell you that this is probably – just convince you that this is the best opportunity and why, when I haven't even heard what your other opportunities are. How can I tell you
okay,
this
but
is
there's
the
a difference between saying there's a best opportunity. I know the guys you're talking about, but
mm-hmm.
you could say it's a good opportunity because you really know the market, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't
you
know
what a
mine...
good opportunity is.
Absolutely.
You never try to change anybody's mind. Is that it? If a guy says, no, I'm not interested, you don't say, listen, what other things are you doing now? Let me just see if they're as good. I'll tell you. You don't do that, right?
No, but if someone says, no, I'm not interested, I just ask them why.
And?
There's always a reason. And if it's a good enough reason, I'll leave you alone.
And what if it's not a good enough reason?
Then I press.
And give me an example. Look, what am I here? Give me some help. Tell me something without making me force you.
Hey, really?
You were so chatty last night. What happened? You have stage fright or something?
No.
They really get 20 calls a day?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is there a better time
to
call them? What's the best time to call an IT guy?
Between 5 and 7 at night, typically.
No kidding.
Yeah,
they're late, huh?
Mm-hmm. After work. Yeah.
Okay, we'll let Billy come in. Billy, do you try to turn guys around when they say no?
All the time.
Give me an example.
I think people get overly scared of doing a hard sell and scaring people off. I think we have a unique perspective that we know what the market is and we know what opportunities are out there. And a lot of these guys, unfortunately, don't have that perspective. So sometimes we know a little more what might be best for them career-wise, but we don't know what they want to do. So
I don't understand. What do you mean by that?
I take more of the perspective in an interview. I want to figure out more about you. I don't want to figure out I don't want to tell you about the job that I have. I want to figure out who you are, what you like. What do you have a family? Can you figure out those nonverbal cues and things that tell me whether they can stay local, whether they can travel? I want to figure out more of the soft stuff.
Whether they can stay local and travel, that's nonverbal?
Can they make the
well,
right decision?
But if they tell me they have kids, if they tell me they have a lot of family around here, things that cue me
into verbal. That's verbal. Okay, unless maybe you go to have dinner with your clients. I have to tell you, Angie told me the same thing. Angie, you told me that you have trouble teaching your junior recruiters that they should be doing exactly what Billy's saying. Go for the big picture. Don't try to just fit a guy in the immediate job, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so Billy, you continue. She likes what you're saying.
Yeah, and I mean, if her firm's anything like mine, we want people that are going to be with us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want people that are going to work a 6-month contract and be gone. That's
a long
time. A long time, years, number of years. We have guys that have been with us since 2000.
Yeah, they got like a Marine. They got like a stable. I mean, it's so different
from the business we're in. It's amazing. They have a stable of people, and they just sort of maintain contact
with them.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what?
You send them out into the world.
Yeah, generally. I mean,
they do contract IT recruiting. I mean,
exactly.
Contract IT work.
They'll do they'll work a contract for months, hopefully a year or more, and when that comes to an end, if the company doesn't have the budget to keep them, then we find them something else.
Now, how often do you, Maureen, hold on, how often do you lose these guys while they're on the contract? How often is someone else capable of luring them away?
Good question.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, that happens. I would think with our firm, it doesn't happen a ton.
Yeah, of course not with
but
yours,
it does happen.
But it happens. What about the other guys? How often does it happen?
Everybody else's that happens, not ours.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know you.
Do you have contract language about that? What's the deal on that?
About can they leave or not?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, pretty much all contracts
will,
are at will.
What about with
the
customer?
Yeah.
What about
with
the customer? You have contract language with the customer?
Yes.
Saying that the consultant can't leave?
That you can't offer the consultant a job, basically.
Yeah, can't go direct.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much all contracts with the client, they say after a certain amount of time you can offer them a full-time job, but the initial couple months or year or whatever, it's different client to client, but normally initially they can't offer them a full-time job until it's been at least, say, 6 months or more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But how often do you lose? What percentage of the guys leave to another recruiting firm while they're still on your job? And what does that do to your office? Does it drive you crazy? You're in a panic. You're in a panic to get someone to, you know, take on their work in the middle of the project.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, you have to have a number of the bigger clients in the area that you don't work with. Well, a number of the bigger companies in the area that you don't work with from a client standpoint, because you have to have somewhere to pull these guys from if you can't get them from out of town.
Right.
If there's an opportunity there, and they're not a client of ours, and we don't have any of that kind of opportunity, we can't get them into that, so another firm gets
you
them into
that. You lost me. I don't know what you're saying. Angie.
Mm-hmm.
Angie, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. What happens when what percentage of your people, I don't know if you don't have to say this if you don't want to. Maybe that's why Billy started getting confusing, because he knows someone's listening. But maybe what percentage of people leave the project before it's over, leave your client hanging, and what do you do about that? Do you threaten them up front and say, if you screw me on this, you're never going to get another job through this agency?
No, of course not. I can tell you, gosh, almost 7.5 years I've been doing this, we've had 2 people leave a contract early.
Really?
2, yeah.
Wow. And look, why is that? Because you're such a nice person and they don't want to disappoint you?
Exactly. That and I carry around a whip. So.
Okay.
So
what is it? No, you told me you build a friendly relationship with these people, and that's really the heart of your business. Is that true?
Yeah. That's true. We most recruiting companies, and I shouldn't say that, I guess, but we show up and deliver paychecks every other week. We check in on them. We ask them how they're doing. We bring them candy. I mean, anything that we can think of we want them to feel like they're an employee of somebody.
Mm-hmm. And, in fact, Billy told
me. You take their paychecks on site.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And Billy told me. Billy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You've actually got people with the title relationship manager to do those, to handhold and keep the guys there. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's
okay.
people that do that specific role. That's
Angie, how come you don't have that?
Well, because it's kind of my role as well as Sharon Gatewood's role.
Okay,
we're a small company, so. Bill, how many people work in Billy's company?
Billy's not allowed to say.
Oh.
It's hush-hush. You want to get the guy fired?
Sorry, Billy.
Well, I can tell you, it's a couple dozen. I mean, that's not uncommon.
I mean,
uh-oh, we know the company now. We know the company now.
Anyway, we have 7 people.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I couldn't afford to have just some person that's their whole job.
Okay, I want to talk about referrals. That seems to be the lifeblood of your business, whereas other companies, other headhunters have to hire people like Maureen or Shally to go out and find people for them. You guys really, because you're so chummy, you're – candidates tell you everything, right? They lay their professional lives bare. Is that true? Yes or no?
No.
Hopefully.
It's not true. I had the impression, Angie, I had the impression yesterday after we spoke that you have the same difficulties as I do when you call someone up out of the blue who doesn't know you and say, who do you know? And they're saying, when the hell am I going to tell this guy? But after a while, they're real chummy with you. They trust you to keep them employed. And they, you know, do you favors so you'll do them favors. Is it right?
Yes. 99% of the people we work with will give us all their friends' names. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
There's the one or two that don't want to tell you anything, and those are the ones that don't want direct deposit and don't want, you know, their Social Security number going.
Those are the real techies.
Yeah. But you know what? I just want to put this statistic out there. I would say about half of the contractors that we placed came from a referral last year. About half. So we still have to use the job boards, but that's a pretty high percentage for a referral.
Do you reward for referrals?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Bill, you want to say anything about referrals? Sorry, Maureen, you want to ask another question? Hold on, Maureen, you want to ask a question?
Yeah, do you reward for the referral or do you reward for the hire?
For the hire.
Off the referral.
Mm-hmm. For the hire.
Both?
So, and it's actually a tactic because send me five people and the chances of us working with one of them goes up, you know. So, yeah, for the hire.
So you guys pay on the referral and the hire?
No, just the hire.
Just the hire, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what? I wanted to talk a lot about, I don't know if Dave's still here, I wanted to talk a bit about the recruiter sphere. Now, Angie's company just put up a website. They're techies, and they put up their first website. Amazed me. And they don't have a blog. They're using a newsletter. But they also started, they went to TV for the first time. They have a TV commercial. So it's interesting what they're doing. I wanted to know what the results are. Angie, you don't read any blogs. You're not a part of the blogosphere until Dave just brought you in. I want to know why. How come?
I guess I've been too busy, to be honest with you, trying to train people, and it's just the first time I've had to get out there and see what's going on. We did have a website.
How come you're using a newsletter instead of a blog? Or why not both? You know how a blog works? I mean, a blog could make your website a gathering place for all of your current candidates. And it could also draw, if you've got interesting stuff there, maybe you've got your techie candidates discussing some interesting technical issues that would draw other people to come and see your blog on a regular basis to find out. It could be like a hangout for your city.
That would be wonderful if you could set that up for me. Cause
you give me a call after. I might help you, okay?
Okay.
I might help you. But that's something you should think about. Now, how's your TV ad working? Do you have any results yet?
Yeah, we that was the reason for the email. We wanted everybody to know about it, go look at it, give us your feedback. It was just a spotlight. It wasn't like, we grew the commercial from scratch. And then the website is a new website, new and improved. It's not.
Oh, you had one before.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. But it's not fancy or anything. Is your commercial on your website?
Yep.
It is good.
Yeah.
Good for
you.
Homepage. So it's live.
Send me the link. I want to see it.
I'm sorry?
This is Dave. Send me the link. I'd like to see it.
Okay. Awesome. Will do.
Do you know Dave's email address?
I'm sure I have it here.
Okay.
What's going on in IT wages?
What's going on?
Are they accelerating? Are they stagnant?
You know, Maureen, I didn't finish talking with these guys about the social networking.
Go ahead.
I mean, the Gen Y guy is supposed to be more advanced than her. He's interested in social networking. In fact, he told me there's a generational gap in recruiters between those who like working the phones and those who think they can get some action from social networks. Am I right, Billy?
Well, I think people gravitate to what they're used to. People that are used to working nothing but the phone, they stay there.
Yeah, okay. But what does that mean about the social networks to you? How do you think you're going to get the social networks to work for you? Give me an example. Are you going to find IT programmers on Facebook or MySpace or something like that? Or
no, I think there's certain ones that are effective and certain ones that aren't as effective for IT. I'm not going to get on Facebook or MySpace to find IT guys. I don't think they – in my experience, I don't –
okay, but you told me you're different from the older guys. What is it that makes you different?
The difference would be that I typically would be out on LinkedIn more, out in the forums more, out in the online communities, not specifically Facebook, MySpace, but the general online communities, the groups of IT guys online.
You mean your guys don't hang out there? I mean, Shally's been promoting that kind of thing for 10 years.
I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying I'm on there. I'm probably on the phone less and on those more than most of the
other guys. Is that
going
to get you fired?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, boss. Am I giving away too many secrets about how you run your time? Let me ask you something.
No, you're
fine. Do you know who Shally is?
Yeah.
Shally?
Uh-huh.
Okay. What about Angie? Do you know Shally?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, you know Dave, of course. Dave works for Shally. That's obvious. Now, the thing is, do you take courses for like an internet sourcing? Do you guys use internet sourcing, or do you just really go to Monster and different databases?
I stay away from Monster personally.
Okay, but do you do internet sourcing?
Yeah, but I try to do it through more of the grassroots networking through LinkedIn and things like that.
Okay, so you don't do those fancy Boolean string searches on Google or anything like
that? No, not too much yet. I will probably be getting into that more, but
do you think they're worthwhile? Do you think they're worthwhile?
Hard to say. I haven't tried them too much.
Okay,
I can see where
Angie,
they would be.
Angie, do you have an opinion on that?
Oh, they're definitely worthwhile. I say you uncover every rock. You know, otherwise you're leaving people on the table.
Does that mean you're doing it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to try to open up a couple of more phones here. I don't know if I actually can. Area code 314 and area code 512. I'll let you say hi if you want to. I know lots of lurkers don't like to say anything. Do you want to say hi?
Oh, I always say hi.
Who are you?
314. I'm Lisa Rokusik.
Lisa,
yeah.
I want to talk to you. I got to talk to you, but not on this show. You had a problem with LinkedIn that's very interesting. Someone stole
Lisa.
No.
It's not really a problem with LinkedIn. I don't want to bash LinkedIn.
I said I'm not going to talk with you about it on this show.
Okay, we can talk about it later, but I was going to talk about the blogosphere in recruiting.
Okay, well, wait a second, okay? Area code 512. Area code 512, do you want to say hello to the recruitosphere newbies?
Austin, step forward.
Okay, doesn't want to say anything. Okay, Lisa, I'll give you 2 minutes. What is it you want to say?
Well, this is fascinating because even though I'm not a young person, I'm pretty geeky, and I really use every facet of the web that I can, but it always leads back to my telephone. And I really am not sure how you can establish the kind of rapport and get people to open up to you as effectively without using your phone. So, I am the geekiest of the geeks.
You know, Lisa, I'm sorry. I know it's your first time here, but the guy didn't say he doesn't use his phone. He didn't say that. He said he wants to find them on the – he doesn't use it as much or exclusively.
Yeah,
Lisa, you're on the couch now.
She doesn't
now.
Know
Give
you, Michael. Be
chance.
Gentle.
She's going to come on herself. I'll have her
okay,
on another
be
time.
Be gentle.
Oh, maybe I'll have
it's
her
okay,
on
Michael,
after hearing this.
You can animalize me. I can take
okay.
it, but you're
That's
right.
That's it. She knows the lingo. She knows the lingo. But you know what? I got a question. I got a question for all the recruiters on here. Now, you know David Perry, everybody? He's the author. He's a great guy. He's the author of the Guerrilla Job Hunting book, you know. And he says that it, with regards to recruiters, it takes one to know one. And if you know a lot about a specific field, especially if you've been working in it yourself, like all these bosses at these IT contract firms, they have the ability to look at a resume or talk to a guy for 10 minutes on the phone like Angie, and they'll know, and they'll be able to ask the right questions to determine if this is the kind of person I need. Now, I think, Angie, you did tell me that your strength as a recruiter is knowing the field and not having to learn it every time. Am I right about that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's not really the case to you that it takes one to know one, but you really have to learn the field and specialize in it in order to be an effective recruiter. Yes or no?
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay. How long does it take to know the field, and what's happening while you're learning? I mean, are you still a recruiter?
Sure. You can still recruit. It's just that you become more and more effective the more you know about what you're doing. That's
okay.
All.
That sounds like common sense, but how does it play out in terms of performance? Do you do, you know, does your performance double in year number three or something like that?
Really, after the end of the first year, maybe second year, you really start to put for my field, technology, together. You know, you start to figure out what's Unix versus, you know, NT and what...
Took you a year to figure that out?
Huh?
Nothing. Okay, Billy. Billy's only been in the business a year. Are you finding that do you feel that you're over the hump now, that you've learned it? And Billy came in, I'll just tell you, Billy, I know it's a secret, but I'm going to spill this one. You came in thinking you knew everything. You came in thinking you knew everything, and you found out otherwise, right?
I was wrong, yeah. I was completely wrong.
Okay, so you've been in the business for a year now. Are you over the hump? Do you think that your production has gone up since you've had the chance to learn stuff?
Production's definitely gone up. I think I know a lot more than when I started, but I got a lot of room to grow still.
In what
way? Still in learning things, and I still can't look at a job rec and know after 3 seconds this is exactly what they want. I still have questions I need answered about it.
Give me an example and let Angie come in. I want to hear what she's got to say to you because, you know, she coaches junior people like you.
Sure.
Maybe
you want to
go to her firm. After you meet her on the show, you can tell, kiss your boss goodbye and go to work for her.
Move to Florida.
She's in sunny Florida. I got to tell you, it's snowy as hell up here today. It's like a Christmas card outside. Go ahead. Tell us, what questions do you have when you that you feel you wish you had the answer to already and you believe you will in the future?
Well, it's speed. It comes down to speed. I think I can get the answers, but I can't look at a rec if it's for a tester, if it's for a QA analyst. I can't look at a rec and know exactly what person is going to work in this rec or not without getting a couple questions answered first. What kind of, you know, I know the manual versus the automated, but getting into the more specific stuff, you know, your black box testing and your things like that, that stuff I need clarification on, and I can't just jump in and grab somebody and say, yeah, that guy will work. No, that guy won't work.
Is it because the job's not written well?
I'm sorry?
Is it because the job's not written well? Do they not explain the project and the tools needed? Or?
Well, that's probably part of it. Part of it's probably that it's not as in-depth as I'd like it to be on paper, and part of it's probably that I just don't – it doesn't click for me until I get a little clarification from
Let me explain, Angie. You know when you're an archaeologist sees the footprint of a dinosaur in the stone, and he just glances at it, and he can figure out, or she, you know, what the dinosaur looked like. He doesn't have enough expertise to, you know, figure out the implications of a brief job description, whereas you might, right?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Right. What can he do? Do you have any advice for him, Angie?
Well, it's hard to say because I feel like I just know when I need to ask the client more questions and when I can start looking for this person right away.
Teach him.
I mean,
teach him that right now. You got a minute.
Yeah. Good luck.
Teach me.
I mean, if the job description doesn't say black box or white box or, you know, whatever it is that they need them to do and doesn't describe the project, it just gives you a list of skills, then, yeah, you have to ask your client. But I think your client will respect you more when you ask sophisticated questions, you know.
Right.
That you know
but
what you're
talking
about.
He doesn't have the wherewithal to ask a sophisticated question, and he's wondering, like, maybe my client's going to think I'm an idiot and shouldn't deal with me because I don't know, you know, ABC.
Right.
Well, that's part of it. You use their, you know, you utilize their valuable time when you're constantly calling them. But part of it, I think, also is that when you're at one firm that deals with a specific set of clients for a longer time, you get to know the clients more.
Mm-hmm.
So there needs to be less verbiage on the paper.
True.
So you automatically know what the projects that are there are, so you can identify it quick.
Mm-hmm.
Work farce. This guy, you sound like a junior work farce. Doesn't he sound like the work farce?
kind of.
Well, the work farce, I cut him off by accident, I guess. Okay. Yeah, sorry, he's not there. I could talk to him all day. Okay, I want to ask you a question about office politics. This is specifically for Angie, but, you know, Billy can chime in. I used to work in a small firm with about 7 people many years ago. Anthony J. Meany was there, too. He'll attest to the truth of what I say. Do you guys know who Anthony J. Meany is?
No.
He's a super recruiter, okay? He used to be my partner and JD's partner in recruiting.com. But anyway, he'll swear that, like, we had a guy there who was a wild man, and he would, you know, for a while, he had problems with his wife. He split up with her, and he was just crazy. He was had a black belt in karate, and he was scary. This guy was scary. The boss would go out for like 6 hours a day. He had another business, and he didn't want to mess with this guy. He would start screaming at the drop of a hat. Do you have office politics issues maybe like that or a little milder than that that you have to deal with?
I would say milder, but we do tend to have a lot of politics, more than a big corporation would, because in a big corporation, you know, this is what I say, get it done, blah, 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 and in our culture, we make it okay for everyone to speak up, and that encourages a lot of
So what are the people, what's the fight, what are the conflicts about in your business?
Because
you're the arbiter. Are you the arbiter? That means
no,
judge.
No, I'm the instigator usually. I'm the one.
You're starting the fight.
I do.
Why?
I'm the one because I'm asking, you know, telling people as the trainer, you know, I need you to get this information, please. Make sure you cover this. And they get frustrated.
So everybody hates you. Is that it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So you have like these sessions every once in a while where they get to blow off some steam and you have meetings. How do you deal with that?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that what you do?
Yeah, I would say there's one or two people that I just when you first start here, I'm in your face for the first 3 months, and some people can handle it, and some people can't. So,
you know, you don't sound like that guy. You sound like nice, but I guess you know, initial impressions are deceptive. Okay,
yeah.
Billy, do you have any comments about that? Anybody? I know your whole team is listening there. Anybody you hate or don't get along with?
All of them. Can't stand them.
Or that you want your boss to fire? Okay.
That's for another show. No, we have. I think anytime you get
a number. We have a couple dozen people in our office, and anytime you get a number of good salespeople, which I think most of our employees are good salespeople, and I think anytime you get a bunch of them together, you get conflicting personalities.
Okay, that was profound, man. That was heavy. Forget it. Listen, I got to move on to something because your time is running out. Listen, resumes. I got to tell you,
yeah.
Angie blew my mind yesterday. Okay, and it takes a lot to surprise me. Okay, she said we do resume writing classes. They offer resume writing classes to their bozo candidates. The guys don't know how to write a resume. But here's where she surprised me. She said the problem is that the techies try to make themselves sound like business people, and they say, well, I did this, and it saved the money, the firm such and such amount of money, et cetera. I have to admit that I also have subscribed to the idea of looking for objective measures, especially in money if possible, financial terms of what you've done for the firm. And she's saying to me that's ridiculous. You don't want to know. The techie's not a businessman. You want to know what tools he's got. You want to know what projects he's worked on. I was very impressed that you take a different point of view, Angie. Anything else to say about that? Did I express your point of view correctly?
Yeah, you did. That's it.
Yeah,
you
need
to know what have you used a hammer and what'd you build with it, you know? And that's it.
And the stuff about here's my achievements,
mm-hmm.
like that's irrelevant?
It's irrelevant if you just want a hands-on technical position. If you're looking to climb a ladder, then sure, achievements is fine.
I got to tell you, it's such a different world. Dave Manister, are you still there? Kingfish? Okay,
right,
he's not answering. Yeah, I don't know. You talk to people in this world, I assume, the contract recruiting business. It's just so different. What do you think about that, what she just said about a resume?
Any opinion? I think the successful, you know, people that you're going to want to have long-term contract relationships with, that they're going to have to be the best, the same as any other position.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Put the mute back on, okay? I'm sorry I asked. No, listen, Dave, while you're on, now let me ask you something. Is there a question that I'm missing with these guys? Should I be asking them something about the Recruitosphere or Web 2.0, about contract recruiting that I'm missing that I should be asking them, or is there something you'd like to tell them about what ERE can offer them?
No, I'm not going to stick an ad for ERE into here.
You're not putting an ad in. I'm inviting you to educate them about what's available. They don't read blogs. They've got no participation in online activities. Anything to tell them?
Yeah, I think they should check out the Fordyce letter.
Okay, want to spell that for them? Do you guys know about the Fordyce letter?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
Fordyce letter.com is where you can check out a whole bunch of the archives, and it's basically just a whole bunch of how-to information for how to run a contingency, a contract business. Any recruiter can use it. It's intended for big billers, but any recruiter can use it.
Okay, but there's a lot of stuff specifically about these contract firms. Is that what you're saying?
It's actually geared more towards the contingency side.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. But you know, there's so much crossover. I mean, the sales process is largely the same.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. Okay. What do I want
to
talk about? I don't know.
Original question. I think you're doing a really good job of focusing on the business of recruiting. It sounds to me from what they're saying is that the Web 2.0 kind of stuff is mostly, you know, it's fun, but it's kind of a sideline, not the
Dave, it's always going to be a sideline. But look, they've got websites, they've got newsletters, now they've got TV ads. Why not have a blog where all your talent pool can congregate? That's what those blogs are for. That's what Microsoft Jobs blog is all about, and they've been very successful with it. Maybe Microsoft is a little different. I don't know. But you guys, I'm going to have a chat with Angie after the show, not today. But if Billy wants to come along, he's welcome to. Just don't tell me anything about your company, you know? I don't want to know about it. I beat
totally
that to the ground. I'm going to stop that.
Michael.
Pardon me?
When you have that chat with them, show them the ROI.
Yeah, okay, fine. Okay. I don't know what ROI means. I'm not a businessman.
Return on investment.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Put the mute on, please, okay?
That's
okay.
Back.
Now, what's
She's
that woman's
English
name?
Major.
Okay, what's that woman's name? Louise, right? Are you still there?
Lisa,
I'm sorry. How did you know it was you if I said the wrong name?
Well, I just...
Is there something else you'd like to say? I'll give you another minute right now.
No, you know, I think what you just said was very interesting, that the Web 2.0 stuff is a sideline, yet it can be a very important one. I do a lot of technology product development recruiting at a lot of levels, usually single producers that are very senior, if I do that, or leaders. And I'm amazed at how many, you know, $150,000 guys doing product engineering at a very senior level are very active in the blogosphere. I hate that word, but it's a word now. or engaging in connections via the web of some type. And
okay.
So,
thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Lisa, I have to tell you, Michael coined that word.
Lisa's going to be on again. No, I didn't invent blogosphere. I invented recruitersphere, and really, I have to admit, it didn't take much imagination. Now,
it's okay.
Now,
we all use it, even if we hate it, right?
Yes, that's right. Just like we eat food we don't like. But Maureen, your show is coming on. Talk sourcing is coming on. That's why I had to be abrupt. Okay.
Well, I would never want to stand in the way of Maureen because she rocks.
Yeah, now Pam just started out.
Don't stand in my way.
Pam just called in. Pam is Maureen's pal. Now, this show, we're going to start up now. It's about telephone sourcing. Sorry, Maureen, about that. And so anybody who wants to get off, they're welcome to get off. But if they have questions about telephone sourcing, stay on. Now, does anyone, before I switch shows, what about my two main guests? Do you want to hear about telephone sourcing, or should I say my thank yous and goodbyes to you right now? Because it's been an hour. You guys got to get back to work, right?
Yep, got to get back
to
work.
Yeah.
Angie,
listen.
Thank
get
you
on the
very
phone.
Much. Angie, thank you very much. I'm so glad you came onto the show. I will be in touch with you to give you some information. Billy, if you have problems with that guy, you know where to come. Dave Mendoza can wipe him out. He'll destroy him online. He won't show his face again. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
See
talk
you,
to
thanks.
Later. You had guts.
Bye.
Here we go,
thanks
Maureen.
Thank
care.
You.
Can I let through the bathroom window?
Enough. Maureen, welcome to the Talk Sourcing Show with Maureen Shireen. Come on, whatever your name is. Joe Cocker.
How can
Maureen
I get a word ahead of
the super vixen of telephone sourcing and Pam Simon, her sidekick. And area code 512, whoever that is. Now, do you have a question for Maureen? Is that why you've been lurking in the background? You've been just waiting to get to this show? I'll give you a chance. Okay. So just Pam and Maureen and me. And the lurker. The lurker could stay there.
Did
that's
we lose
okay.
everyone? Did everybody drop off?
Everybody's gone. They got to get to work.
Okay.
Man, they're not like
party killers.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. How are things down in Atlanta?
Very good.
Not snowing there today, eh?
No, we got rain today, but very, very warm and tornado warnings, and it's very good.
Okay. Do you guys have anything to say? I know Pam likes to talk about, you know, celebrity pregnancies and who they sleeping with and stuff like that. You know, let me ask you a question about that, just so we'll warm up a bit. I had some questions for you. I can't even remember what they were, but
we were talking about Hillary before.
Okay, you know, I'm not talking about Hillary. I have another question. Okay.
All right.
What's the big shtick with baby bumps? I mean, what do I care if Angelina Jolie has a baby bump or somebody else? Is that interesting to women, like, but not guys? Am I missing something?
No, it is interesting to women. I'm not quite sure. I think we like to see if they get fat or if they, you know, if they get really bad stretch marks and, you know, how quick, you know, when they do have the baby, do they get
are you serious back? Or just saying, you know, is this your kind of humor?
No, I think I'm kind of serious, masked in humor.
Okay.
There's always
Maureen, Maureen, do you concur with that?
I would agree with that, yeah.
You were interesting when these celebrities get pregnant?
For a minute,
I would agree that it has its own peculiar kind of
attraction.
I guess it does, because there's obviously, you know, they're telling you every day who's got a baby bump. Like, when did that originate anyway? Just like
it's been going on for
year.
A long time. There's been a baby boom going on for a few
not
years.
Not a boom, a bump.
Well, the baby
bump
started with, okay, now listen.
When did they start, Pam?
been Adam and Eve.
Okay, thanks.
You
know, you guys.
See what you started, Michael.
I just got to tell you, you guys are so different from me. But anyway.
Of course.
Okay. But so I want to continue because we don't have any callers except 512. And I want to continue with what we were talking about last time, if that's all right with you. We did the first part in the last session. I know what I was going to tell you about as well, but we did the first part of working the phone bank. So I just want to review what you told me. So Amitai Giverts, he's a friend of this show. He told me he listened to it after, and he said that I sounded like a dummy. Well, that's quite all right. I don't care if I sound like a dummy. I don't care if I sound like an ignoramus. I just want to get the information out there for the people, for the audience. That's who we care about, right? And
right.
If I ask you the dumb questions, then they won't have to. So
you know
I am going to.
There are no dumb questions.
Thank you, Pam. But you know what? It did sound like Maureen thought some of my questions were a bit dumb. But anyway, but the point is that I'm going to get to that. I better shut up or I'll lose everybody who's listening. So we're just going to dive right in, okay?
So now you're calling me condescending?
You were, okay. You were dismissive, that's what I would say, not condescending, Maureen. Okay, so here's what you told me.
The bumbling fool approach is very, very effective in telephone sourcing.
Okay, well, that's what he said I sounded like. Okay, he said I wasn't going to impress anybody with my services, but that's fine. Nobody uses my services.
Did you say you didn't care?
Yeah, okay, but you know what? If we don't stop talking about Amy Giverts, then we're not going to get any listeners, okay? Now, but here's what I want to tell you. You told me that when you go through a regular phone bank in a smaller company, quite often different positions on the phone bank are reserved for different departments. So I think you said that in one section, can't remember which one, the executives are going to be. Then in the middle, there's the regular workers. If it's a IT company, for instance, you're going to get the programmers and stuff in the center. Then in another section, you'll get the administrative people in the financial section. Can you remind me, can you refresh my memory, who's where along the line,
well,
in the early numbers to the higher numbers?
Usually the administration and the executives will be in the first numbers. For instance, if they have, let's just use a simple three-digit.
Can you talk a little louder, Maureen? Are you on your
landline? No, I'm not.
Or?
I'm on my phone. On my phone. Extension 100, extension 101, extension 102. Extension 100, might be the administrative assistant or the receptionist. 101 might be the president or the CEO of that company. 102 might be a CFO. Usually you'll have, if it's going like that, you'll have administrative assistants or executive assistants or secretaries mixed into that.
Hey, let me just ask,
well,
there's a new person just signed in. Before we go on with the phone banks, area code 336, never heard of that. Maybe it's in China. Did you have a question for Maureen or Pam, or are you lurking? Would you like to say hello? Hung up.
You scared him.
Yeah, well, what
see,
can I do?
Michael?
He maybe
that's North
speak
Carolina.
English? Okay, fine. 336 is an actual area code?
North Carolina.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're saying that...
I think, right, Pam?
Yeah.
The early parts of the are the administration and the executives?
Many times. Well,
okay.
Let's say sometimes. I'm not going to say this works in every single phone book, book because it doesn't.
Okay.
If it exists, many times they're the early ones. Go ahead.
Okay, now the key things you told me, like it's easy to go get all the names on one of these things because you'll go into them, and when they ask you to put the letters in, you just have to press the pound sign, and it'll go through the whole system quite often. So that's in the smaller companies. You told me that the real key there is really just to get about, I don't know, 10 names, and then go in and call any of those people and ask for the information you're looking for. Is that right?
It's one way.
It is one of the ways. Yeah.
What's the other way?
Well, there's many ways.
But you told me that's what you guys do. You don't need to go through the whole phone.
It's a very effective way, and sometimes, you know, using the bumbling fool approach works. I'm sorry, I know I'm in the wrong department. Can you please transfer me to your IT department or to your accounting department or to your research and development department? It's a very effective way. Usually by the third call, somebody has complied. Would you agree with that, Pam?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I just went through that today where I was looking for, you know, a certain kind of product manager today, and I had a product manager of another product, And so I used his name to call in and set and just basically play the bumbling fool. I called him by his name. He answered the phone. I said, so-and-so, Mr. Dave Smith. I'm just updating my directory at this point, and I have a quick question. Are you listed as the product manager for blank? Oh, no. I'm the product manager for this. Oh, goodness. Could you tell me who is the correct product manager? And I got it.
And he didn't ask why you wanted to know?
No.
No.
Okay.
Very seldom will they ask why
you want
to
know. Let me ask
another
question.
If you approach correctly, like Pam just described.
Mm-hmm. What if there's more than one project manager or product manager that you're looking for? What would you have changed in that approach? Because obviously
I would have changed. If it sounds like he's very open and or she is very open and amenable, you know, you might say, well, while I still have you, do you know who the product manager is for this? And I would say half the time they'll go, you know, it's so and so, or you know what, call this person, they know.
But you don't call in and say, look, how many project managers do you have? Can you run through the list for me?
No.
No.
I'm not being condescending or dismissive, Michael, but
right.
No.
Now, believe it or not, though, we have done that, but it's very rare when that will spill for you like that.
So if you want to get a team, all the names on a team, isn't that how you have to do it? You have to go in and say, look, I need this information. Please, you want to get the number so you know you've got them all. Or what?
I never say I need the information. I always say that I'm making sure that I haven't missed anyone.
I don't understand. Can you elaborate for me?
Sure. It's a subtle difference between making sure you're not leaving someone behind, which everybody agrees with in their department. Oh, yeah, you don't want to forget so-and-so and so-and-so.
And many times they don't even know what it is you might be forgetting them for.
Right.
Just
guys lost me. What are you saying? I didn't understand.
All right, listen. Okay, so you want us to get the entire call center for, you know, a particular company, right?
Yeah.
So we will do our research for a while. We will find out maybe who the manager is or an assistant manager and start working it from there, and we might do our research and we might call around and make sure that we start adding names to our list. Then when we feel like we have enough names, especially if it feels like it's going to be a big department, then you go back to an administrative assistant or someone else that, you know, along your journey you felt was helpful to you. Say, you know what, I need to make sure I have everyone on this team. Who am I missing?
I have so-and-so and so-and-so and
so-and-so.
So-and-so,
right. You're feeding them the information, what you do have, and they go, do you have to? And then they begin to become helpful in your process, and then they'll help you fill in the blanks.
Really?
It does sound like you're speaking from authority.
Uh-huh. And how many people are we talking about in a team do you think the maximum is you can get at one time?
Well,
go ahead and confess, Sam.
It can go anywhere from 1 to 150.
Or
get
200.
One shot? In that case, the 150, you give them an email address or a fax number, and they send you that information. Am I right? No.
It's happened enough times where we will keep somebody on the phone anywhere from 20 minutes up to almost an hour.
Give me a story. That's a war story. Come on, tell me the story.
Those are war stories.
It is a war story.
Pam, you start off. Maureen, you jump in whenever she makes a mistake.
Which story should I tell? The Labor Day
doesn't make
mistakes. Story?
How about Officer Gill? Remember Officer Gill over Labor Day?
Yeah.
Somebody just remarked about that.
Right. We had a very large project.
We were doing an org chart, right, Pam?
Yeah, we were doing an org chart for the purpose of someone else sending invitations individually to these people. I'm assuming
they were actually going to do that. They were actually going to send them invitations.
Right.
To
and
some
they,
event. It was some marketing event, I think.
Absolutely.
This is what, 2 years ago, Pam?
Yeah. It was a year ago this past Labor Day. I remember it well.
Right, exactly.
And the project was going to be large because they wanted every single engineer in this very large firm. Didn't matter what division.
Didn't matter what kind of engineer. They just wanted every single one.
Every single one. So we got the job in right before the Labor Day weekend. And we knew that this company had several thousand people in it. So in that regard, what I thought I would do over the Labor Day weekend, since I knew nobody would be around, is I would work phone banks. And I did. At the start of the holiday weekend in the evening, I would knock out several hundred phone numbers, extensions per evening, and got
names and extensions or
names and extensions. And then continued to do it through Saturday. We started this on a Thursday night. Did it through all through a Friday night, and then got up early Saturday and continued to knock out several hundred more phone numbers. Well, lo and behold, somebody happened to be doing, you know, some extra work over the weekend and answered the phone live, and it happened to be Officer Gill. And Officer Gill tried to help me out as best as Officer Gill could and began to, I went down through all of my names and extension numbers. At this point, I had 400 or 500 and began to confirm which departments they were in.
We had names and numbers, but we didn't have titles.
We didn't have titles.
Or many titles.
Right. And so began to confirm which of these names were in the engineering departments. And I think I had Officer Gill.
Don't say this guy's name anymore. I feel worried for him, okay?
Okay.
So,
Officer Gill was a security guard who had a paper directory that he could refer to.
Correct. And so he began to help me. And I mean, at one point, Officer Gill had to make rounds and ask me to call back. So I did. And we worked about another hour on the phone.
Now, I can tell you, yeah. But this
and
is
then,
okay.
And then, with as much information as Officer Gill could give me, which was several hundred, I was able then to keep working these phone banks all through the Labor Day weekend, and lo and behold, another employee happened to be working over this weekend, answered their phone live, confirmed all of my information, and filled out the rest of it.
As I recall, he was going off like at 4 a.m. one day, right?
Yes.
PM, and somebody else was coming on, and
yeah.
He told you to call.
To call
the other
another
person.
Yeah, this
right?
other security person.
Yeah, and that's
and
how
so,
it happened.
Yeah. And that's
what
how
was wrong
sometimes.
With these people? Come on, you can't. But this is so freaky and unusual. Something weird.
It's
was
not
going.
Freaky. It's not unusual.
No.
To us, it's not.
It isn't. I mean, you have to have a friendly demeanor. You have to have a friendly rapport. You have to have enough information that makes you sound credible going in through the door, so to speak.
You want
and,
to arrive with some credibility.
Right.
With some familiarity.
Okay,
right.
So what now here's the thing, though. Obviously, this time you were working with a big company. When you use the phone bank in a small firm,
sure,
it's easy to go to get everybody because usually you just have to press pound and it goes through everybody. Or you can just go through every letter because they're only all you need to trigger the names are by pressing the first letter of the last name.
Sometimes, yes.
Sometimes.
But in these bigger companies, they often ask, you know, press the first three letters of the last name. How do you go through it to make sure you have everybody?
Okay, well, first of all, if it tells you to press three, don't. Just press one and see if it won't spill with one. If it tells you to press three and then press pound, don't press pound because pound, for some reason, seems to kick off something in the phone system that tells the phone system you're not using it correctly. Just press one and see if it doesn't spill. And what I mean is just wait and see what happens. If it's not going to spell, it'll come on and tell you you have not pressed enough numbers. You need to press three. Don't press three again. Press one more and wait and see if it doesn't spill.
Okay, now I find that really you have to press three. You don't. Is that what you're saying?
Not always.
Many times you don't. No, many times you don't.
Okay, but let's
say
sometimes
you do. If it's huge,
yeah.
If it's huge, you usually do.
Okay, so
and how do you know you have everybody? Because look at your phone pad, Michael.
Yep.
The first one you start with is 222.
Yep.
And then you go 223.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go 224.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go 225. You follow
yep.
me?
Yep.
Through the whole up to 1,000. And yeah, it's time consuming. It takes time. This business is very time consuming.
Yep.
222
will give you all the names that start with A, B, or C.
And possibly
every
a vowel
second letter,
afterwards. Right.
Yeah, every second letter that starts with A, B, and C, and every third letter that starts with A, B, and C.
Hmm. Okay. So,
you follow me?
Yeah. So how long does it take to go through from 222 to 999? or whatever it is.
If it's a huge company, it can take a couple days.
Just like
hour-wise.
That's what Pam was doing.
Yeah.
Pam, what kind of phone system did they have to get through? Did you have to do the three numbers or what?
I first started off with, I found an internal number. And so I kind of did it the old-fashioned way. I started playing with the extensions to see which way it would go versus going through the alphabet.
Want to tell us about that? What do you mean?
There's always an outside number, a public number. And
yep.
Then there's a separate number to call people direct internally. That's usually a separate or different prefix, instead of, 212-555.
Same area code, different prefix, and then
right.
Four numbers after it.
And four numbers afterwards. And so, I managed to stumble across somehow through my research an internal number, which told me that the prefix was going to be completely separate from the public external phone number, the published phone number.
Different. Mm-hmm.
So once I had those last, the internal number, the seven digits after the area code, then what I do is I dial that number, and then I began to see if it would roll out. Like if I got a voicemail, if I hit pound, would it allow me to, go back to the internal, pre-recorded operator, to dial another extension. And I happened to get lucky. The phone system did work that way. And so then I just started hitting numbers all the way around it and all different kinds of combinations. Like if it was in the 3000 series, I worked up and down the 3000 series.
Calling back every time?
Oh, no. In this case, the phone bank was, although I have done that, there are some phone systems that don't let you, roll back in and do that, where I will manually dial a number by hand each time. But in this case, it allowed me to pound out and dial another extension, and that's how I worked it.
Okay. Now, somebody just came in, 973, might be a lurker, might be somebody who just wandered in here, but it might be somebody who wants to ask a question. 973, you can stay quiet if you want to, but if you want to ask Maureen and Pam a question, now's your chance.
I just called in, so this is Valora Howell.
Hi, how are you?
How are you, Maureen?
Pam, Valora the singer.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Pam comes out of the radio business, Valora.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I'm a singer, but I'm also a serious recruiter. So
oh, yeah.
For 22 years. So, and one of the weak points that I have is I'm kind of more internet, former internet recruiter. Started out as a cold caller in the days when the internet didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And but there are so many gatekeepers, and so it's a lot more challenging to get information. So I'm always willing to learn strategies and ways to be able to infiltrate the gatekeepers. So I'm just kind of listening and want to learn more.
Well,
okay.
Welcome.
Okay. Gatekeeper questions, Pam. Those are always popular.
Do you have anything you'd like to throw out to, is it Valora?
Valora, yeah. Yes.
Did you make up
that
name
yourself? Been listening? How long have you been listening?
I just came in.
Oh, okay.
I just
you might want to listen to the replay because we just talked about, it was a gatekeeper. He was a security guard. He's a gatekeeper,
of
course.
Yeah, he was retarded as well, but that's
no,
another
No, he
story.
Wasn't.
He was not. He was very nice.
Okay.
He was, he was from the boonies, Valora. I mean, this is like somebody who would.
You don't know
you
where
could
I
trick
was,
into
Michael.
Any. You could trick this guy.
Oh, well,
you
know,
he was so. I don't know. He
there was
just
no tricking about it. It was just asking questions.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
That's it.
Well, he's naive, and he wouldn't know. What's up? But the for companies that are really are hard to get into. I've gotten lists. I've gotten people to email me the whole company directory. So. But there are challenges, and I just like to find.
Give us an example. Have you worked on anything recently where you had a specific problem and you did not succeed in what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I was doing a name generation search for it's an Arbitron company. I can't think of the company's name, but we were looking for marketing research people, and specifically we were looking for a particular type of marketing research person. And I was able to get some names from LinkedIn because you always have a name to get in. But I wasn't able to get the whole entire list, and that was a challenge trying to find a way to do that.
So how many did, how many people do you think were in the department you were after? How many names do you think you
were
targeting?
Well, I was trying to infiltrate. I don't remember. It's been a while for this one because it was kind of hard. It was. I think I was trying to. This particular company was really savvy, and you just couldn't. No one ever answered their phone, so you couldn't even get anyone to respond back at all. And I imagine that they had people doing this particular function nationally, but I was asked to find people in the New York metropolitan area. So I imagine that there could have been about 12 people with this title, and I think I may have gotten maybe 4 names.
Mm-hmm.
So
how did you get those names? How many did you of those 40
well,
did you
I
get
got
from
them
LinkedIn?
Through LinkedIn. So
all
I had,
of them.
Yeah, I got.
Oh, you
most
got
them
nothing.
And I verified that they existed, and that was that.
Uh-huh.
But I eventually I got names from other areas like New Jersey because I was doing this for a region for Chicago. So I got enough names to get paid, but I would have liked to have gotten all the names. So how do you overcome that challenge?
Pam, you want me to answer it?
Yeah, you start.
All right. The way I would have done this, Laura, probably the way I would have approached this, again, I would have to look at the company and I'd have to kind of get a feel for how the phone bank or how the phone system worked and how what the front line receptionist was like. But if I had 4 names, I would call them. I would call one of those names.
Mm-hmm.
And I would approach them, and I would say, I would ask them if they could help me. I'm working on a list, and I have so-and-so listed, I have so-and-so listed, I have so-and-so listed, and I know there are others there. I don't want to miss anybody. Can you help? Can you tell me who the others are? I would say it. I would approach it like that, Michael. I think you asked this question before.
Yeah,
and
I wasn't able to get anyone on the phone.
You couldn't get anybody on the phone.
Yeah. And
market research.
That.
They could be out in the field. You know, you have to really wrap your arms around what it is you're trying to get and think about
mm-hmm.
where these people are, how they spend their days,
mm-hmm.
you know, what
the
likelihood.
Do they have an assistant?
Or do
no,
they have an assistant?
No, they wouldn't have, no. No, most people today don't have assistants unless they're a VP or something.
Well, sometimes there's an assistant usually to the department.
Yeah, if they don't have one themselves, the department will have an administrative assistant. That's our experience.
It was very small. I think it was like a small, I mean, each office was kind of like a satellite office. So it was kind of, because I always do I do the necessary homework. It was that they weren't set up that way.
So what you're saying is there was a headquarters somewhere else, and New York, New Jersey was a satellite office?
No, not necessarily. New Jersey was a satellite office.
Okay, here's another way you can also try to approach it as well. Did you get a phone number, direct phone numbers to these people?
I had, I had the name. So if you have a name, you can get, you know, patched in. But some of those people no longer existed, and I just didn't have enough information, you know, because I kind of got a feel from the New Jersey office how many people should have been in the New York office.
Okay. Well, here's the next thing, then. If you get that stuck ever again, then what you want to try to do is see if you can get a direct phone number on a name that's actually there.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, work the phone number around it if it's a small office. So let's say somebody's extension number or, you know, last 4 is 5012, then try calling direct 5014.
Oh, okay. 5013,
5015, 5010, 5009, and
yes.
See if they might be sitting next to each other.
And they,
yeah,
and they
small
might
office.
Be,
I did that,
be.
Too. I do that, too. I did that. And, it, you know, like I said, a lot of these companies are kind of hip to recruiters, and they don't necessarily mean that all the numbers line up that way in that logical
mm-hmm.
fashion.
Well,
so,
you know what, though?
Mm-hmm.
If you just persist, 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 you'll find the one person that will help you.
Oh, really?
It's always,
you know what?
There's always someone who will break down.
Just one
what?
Second. We're coming near the end.
I'm sorry. There's always someone who will break down and say, okay, I'll help you.
Yes.
There's always that retarded person, Valora. One second. We're coming near the end of the time. I'd like to be able to go over, but I'm not sure if we'll be able to. I think
okay.
when you hear the woman come on with Blog Talk Radio – just keep talking. I'm pretty sure we'll continue to be recorded. So I'm just giving everybody a heads up. Don't worry about it.
All
go
right.
ahead. Is there anything else that you should tell Valora? Because it's an interesting story. I'm glad just to hear the problem. We can think about it for the next couple of weeks, and maybe Maureen will let you know if she's got something to tell you. You can call
Michael, you think these people are retarded that we get the information from? Is that what you think?
No, but a guy who gives you 500 names or something like that, something's wrong there. One at a time? I mean,
yeah.
Valora said
it was the middle of the night, and he was bored. It kept
500 names? That's crazy.
You know, some people, Valora, will do anything to talk to a girl, I guess, you know?
Oh,
well, you know what? When I first started in this business, the guy that set me to this told me that.
Really?
Right.
Wow.
And I never really pursued it like that, but I suppose it's true. You
right.
would certainly do anything to talk to a girl, wouldn't you, Michael?
You know what? Angie, I talked to her last night on the phone.
I know,
she was
I
so
noticed.
Charming. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
imagine how anybody could say no.
Well, very rare do I get a guy on the phone, you know, and most of the time, in my experience doing this.
Maybe you should start singing on the phone. For
yeah,
here,
sure.
Here. Okay, so let's just wrap up this way. If we've got any, you're going to hear the woman come on with the Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Let's just talk through her for a minute. What I understand is she, Valora called in, she couldn't get anybody on the phone, a big problem. And when she went to the executive assistant, they didn't give out any information either.
Mm-mm.
Pam Trussett will try to get an internal number and go from one extension to another. And in the end, your guys, your solution was just, you know, keep looking for some sucker who's going to give out that information.
No,
really.
They're not suckers.
Now, if you're being paid hourly for this, no, your client is going to want to know how many hours did it take you to get this information. And, you know, you want to keep things in under budget, you know, because if you're making a lot multiple calls, it's going to add up. So, you know, it's like a
case. Well, Valora, that doesn't sound like a bad problem to have.
No, especially if the client is willing to pay. But a lot of times they don't quite understand
the
challenges.
They never understand. Maybe you guys have a different experience, but they're always fretting that it's going to cost them money, even though if they make 10 times more than you for a placement, if you actually get somebody.
That's usually what they make.
Yeah. So anything else for her? She posed a really interesting issue. Valora, one more question, though. When you were calling these other offices, they're all in the same company, you couldn't get that information from another city, like New Jersey couldn't give you the New York people?
They don't. In this instance, they didn't know one person in a different location. Sometimes you can. I mean, you know, I have done this with pharmaceuticals where there's like 1-800 number and you can get pretty much anything.
Okay.
But,
I'm gonna suggest something.
The smaller the
Maureen,
company, the harder it is.
If you guys have a chance, could you just give Maureen by email, not online here, give her some of the details, tell her, you know, what company it is, maybe if you feel like it, and if she can come up with something, she'll let you know that we're going to discuss it in the next show. Is that okay? Because that was a very common issue, I think, that Valora presented. You guys have confidence that you could have dealt with it.
Yep.
But, you know, you don't know enough, perhaps, to really say anything except to speak in the abstract, so it's a bit confusing. So I'm going to say let's cut that one off here. Let's end the show. Valora, I hope you call in again. It was nice to have that conundrum that we all are faced with, except these two girls, nothing stops them, apparently.
No, they're experts.
Yeah.
Let me say this, and we didn't do this last time, but let's do a little blurb for TechTrack, Pam.
You know,
yes.
We forgot. Yes, you didn't say thank you very much.
I know. Pam always reminds me we forget to do that.
Yeah.
Pam?
Absolutely. You definitely, for any sourcing questions or if you'd like to know more about what we do, make sure you get a hold of Maureen Cherub at TechTrack,
TechTrack.com.
Yeah. Now it's called Namesorcerer.com anyway, isn't it, Maureen?
No, it's still TechTrack, but my email address is Maureen@namesorcerer.com.
Okay. Your website should be called Namesorcerer. Your website should be called
Namesorcerer.
I know,
you keep saying that.
And I'm sorry I didn't remember to say it at the beginning. I remember
my blog
the week.
Is called Namesorcerer.com.
Yeah, I discovered your blog today.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Valora. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Maureen. We're ending the show. See you in 2 weeks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.